That was the Lonely Planet TV theme, and I'm sure lots of people remember it. Lonely Planet, the travel publishing house founded by Tony and Maureen Wheeler here in Australia, has been sold to foreign owners more than once. But as a guide to the destinations and peoples of far-flung parts of the world, it's still an invaluable guide written by professional journalists. Most years, the past two excepted, they come out with the top 100 list of places to visit in Australia, and of the 100, a place in the top 20 is eagerly anticipated. Journalist Belinda Jackson talks with Graeme Kemlow about this year's list, released yesterday by the publisher.
Well, we spoke to Belinda Jackson, journalist here in Melbourne, last week about fantastic walk that she did in the Grampians. And would you believe the Grampians National Park in Victoria has just bobbed up on a list of Australia's top 20 experiences? Belinda, now you alerted me to this list. Good to see the Grampians on there, but who are the other sort of big winners, if we can use a term?
Well, in the top 20, did you want to take a punt at what you thought number one was going to be, Graham?
Look, I never know. I would have said Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, Great Barrier Reef comes in at number three. But number one is of course, Uluru. And, you know, seriously, would it be it'd be pretty much un-Australian to put anything else first, wouldn't it?
Yeah, although, you know, there's a bit of reaction from people who were no longer felt they could climb the rock, which I never, ever tried to do.
No, I haven't.
So I wondered whether it may not have been popular. Maybe this is a politically correct list.
No, I don't think so. I think, Uluru, do you need to climb Uluru to experience it? I disagree with that. I just think, you know, it's such an enormous, heart-opening place. The landscape around it is just incredibly dramatic. As the book, The Lonely Planet's Top 500 Experiences, is explaining, you know, it's talking about the changes in colour, the shadows as it comes across, as the sun sets, as the sun rises over it. I think when you see Uluru, you can't drag your gaze away from this massive monolith. Yeah,
right.
So yeah, and you know, the fact that it's got a new aspect to it, well, it's not new, of course, it's one of the oldest aspects, but the newfound respect for it with the Anangu who live there, then I think that adds an extra dimension that hasn't necessarily been explored when people have just been so focused on climbing it. So I'm happy to see Uluru at the top of this list of 20.
And
which
are
also
they accessible places? Belinda, have you done many of these?
I did a count, and I've done 15 of the 20 top experiences.
Oh, well, that's pretty good going. I can't get past 11, and some of them, I'd have to say, I really need to go back and refresh my perspective.
Oh, look, I'm not saying that I've been there in the last 2 years, you know. Some of the places, you know, it includes things that are incredibly accessible, like the Manly Ferry is in at number 19. You know,
yeah, that's an interesting one.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's something that's in the city. You don't have to go necessarily, you know, into the heart of Australia like you do with Uluru. But then others like Mona in Tasmania, you know, which is wildly experimental art, you know, that's on the outskirts of Hobart. So, yeah, you know, you've got Kakadu is in there, of course, and Wilson's Prom in Victoria. And the Great Barrier Reef, as we said, was in number three. So, you know, these are all big ticket items.
Well, I also, I guess, from Lonely Planet's perspective, this is probably appealing to an international market as well.
Definitely, I think so too. But then, so there are city experiences such as the Vivid Light Festival in Sydney, you know, which is so dramatic, it just lights up the harbour and the surrounds on it. You know, that's something that an international visitor, you know, most, you know, the large proportion of international visitors come into Sydney as the gateway city. So, of course, if you're going to, you know, if you can time it with this beautiful festival, why not? And then there's others like staying in Sydney. There's the Bondi to Coogee Clifftop Walk, which is a great way to experience, you know, a snippet of Australia's coastal lifestyle.
Yeah, I haven't done that. That's something I should do on a visit up there, I think. I reckon there was a book written about it not so long ago. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was we got sent an invitation to interview an author. If you're a parochial Victorian, you'll be interested to see that we have scored a few, like the Great Ocean Road, which is Victoria's best-known international attraction, along with the Little Penguins from Phillip Island. That's there. The Port Campbell is there, which is at the other end of the Great Ocean Road. You mentioned Wilson's Prom. the Grampians, obviously. You foreshadowed that last week. It was very prescient of you.
Thank you.
And I think that's it for Victoria. But I'm a little surprised there wasn't more from Western Australia. There's a park there called Karajini, which is in the Pilbara. And I haven't been there, but I used to go fishing over there for 20 years. And every time I met a local, it's, oh, have you been to Karajini? And unfortunately, we never left much time before or after our fishing jaunt to make the inland trek into Karajini. But apparently it's got magnificent waterholes and sort of canyons that you can stand in. I think you can throw your voice around, all that sort of stuff. Sounds terrific. And there's also the coast down in the southwest of Western Australia. There's something that sounds a little bit like the Tasmanian Walk, and I think it covers three lighthouses. So it may not be cape to cape, but it might be light to light or something. So there's a lot that you could do. What of this list, Belinda, have you not done that you really feel like you want to do?
Well, I think, I mean, you're looking at the top of this list from Lonely Planet, which is the top 20, but there are 500 experiences in the entire book.
In Australia or beyond?
In throughout Australia. So, you know, it takes really cultural events, you know, such as the Mindle Markets which is on in Darwin's foreshore.
Yes.
And then, you know, it does spend, of course, a lot of time in places like Western Australia, where they're going to the Dampier Peninsula north of Broome and going to Cape Levesque, which is famous for its red cliffs and you know, the beautiful snorkeling. So it's all over the place. If you were making a hit list of things to do, then this would be a really good start. You could say, well, if we're going to be in Australia, we should, you know, in South Australia, let's go to McLaren Vale and, you know, drink wine there, or we can go into Emma Gorge in the Kimberley. So this is really, it's a top 500. It's like the best of hits in all Australia. It's just that top 25 tends to get, the lion's share.
Of course, yeah.
Because you've got you know, great things like Maggie Beer's Farm Shop down in South Australia. Which is a thing, is it? Oh, it's totally a thing. Have you been?
No.
Oh, magnificent. Yeah, and I used to go quite a bit, and, you know, every now and then Maggie would be there, and it would just be like being in the presence of, you know, somebody who just...
Royal. Royalty.
Culinary royalty. Yes, yeah. There's a term for you. Yeah. So, you know, there's those sorts of things. As you say, you know, yes, you don't have to go so far as to hiking the Larapinta Trail, or, you know, you could just go into Kings Park in WA and you smell the wildflowers.
Yeah.
So, or drink, you know, there's funny ones like drinking beer at Little Creatures, you know, over in Fremantle, and the wine territories are very well represented here. But, yeah, but then there's also this lava tubes and you know, the Margaret River gets a run as well. So what I did like was they had a couple of my favourites, such as the Tiwi Islands off the north coast of Darwin, which are not so well visited, but they have a really rich art history there. And,
oh, that's interesting.
And a couple of the galleries that you can visit there, which are spectacular. And then staying on the gallery thing in Arnhem Land too, in Injaluk at Gunbalaya, which used to be known as Owen Pelly, is a spectacular place in Arnhem Land. But so what it does, it's given me ideas of, you know, places to stretch my wings within Australia.
Absolutely. And look, it sounds like a terrific book to maybe buy for friends who are overseas who might be thinking about coming to Australia.
You know what will happen, though, is you'd give it to them, they go off and jeweller these incredible things, and then they'll come back to your place for their last dinner before they fly out and go, oh, what do you mean you haven't seen the platypus in the National Park? And they're like, I don't like you anymore. Get on your plane and go back to where you came from. So exactly. They would actually probably embarrass us by the end of it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's so good for ideas, you know, like going to Worm Adelaide, which is the World Music Festival. I've been a couple of times, but every year I go, ah, damn it, I didn't book my ticket for this year. So that, you know, it reminds you of the places that you really want to go back to.
Absolutely.
And places that you're planning to go maybe, you know, over the Easter break, like, you know, for us in Victoria, the Lake Tyrrell, the, you know, beautiful pink lakes of central Victoria.
Yeah, and of course, there's a whole bunch of them in South Australia as well.
There are, and also in WA too.
Must be across the bottom of the country. We're making salt without knowing it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think summer is probably a little stronger, it's generally because it's a reaction between the algae, bacteria and heat that tends to go pink. But always keep a look. Here's my hot tip for pink lakes. Mm. Always keep a lookout when you're driving over the West Gate in Melbourne, because occasionally that lake underneath the West Gate Bridge does turn pink as well.
I don't think that's involving salt at all, though, is it? That's probably an algal bloom that'll kill you.
Well, I'm not swimming in it, if that's what you're going to ask me.
Or skating on it. No, sounds great. Well, Belinda, thanks for that. I'm glad you alerted my attention to this list. There's a few things I certainly will try and do from the list, and because I love taking photos, so I think photographically some of these places would be magnificent in the early light or in the golden hour in the afternoon, early evening.
I mean, it's not called the Ultimate Australia Travel List for nothing, which is the title of the Lonely Planet book. Hmm. So top 500 experiences, all packaged into one book, pretty much take a lifetime to tick through them. But what a great life spent, hey?
Absolutely. And we'll put a link in our description to connect you with the title of the book. And it'll be in all good bookshops, but possibly also available from Lonely Planet Direct, I think. So thanks again, Belinda, and you can run through this list now. When you get to 20, you better ring me and say, I've got a few stories for you.
Always stories, Graham. There's always something happening, don't you?
I love it. I love it. Belinda Jackson, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Belinda Jackson on the latest Lonely Planet Top 20 Australian Destinations or Experiences. The book's available in all good bookstores. And that brings our first hour to a close. But do stay tuned to JAIR 88 FM, as we will be back after this short break.